Welcome back. Numbers chapter 10. I'm gonna jump right into it. I heard a really cool thing on YouTube today, and I found an app so I could save the video or the short to my phone and then convert the audio from the video into an MP3 and add it to the end of this episode. So I just thought it was cool. But that's gonna be on there. But chapter 10, Numbers, here we go. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two trumpets of silver for yourself. You shall make them of beaten work, and they shall be to you for the calling of the congregation, and for causing the camps to pull up." Just move this a little bit. Go. Causing the camps to pull up. "When they shall blow with them, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow with one, then the rulers, the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall assemble to you. And when you blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east side shall then pull up. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall pull up. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the assembly is gathered, you shall blow." Wait a minute. "But when the assembly is gathered, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for a never-ending statute throughout your generations. And when you go into battle in your land against the foe distressing you, then you shall blow with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Jehovah your God. And you shall be saved from your enemies. And in the day, you shall be saved from your..." That's awesome. I want one of these horns. That sounds incredible. That sounds really incredible. "And in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed times, and in your new moons, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifice, your peace offerings." And over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Sorry. "And they shall be to you for a memorial before your God. I am Jehovah your God. And it happened in the second year, in the second month, in the 20th of the month, the cloud went up from the tabernacle of testimony. And the sons of Israel went forward in their journeyings from the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud stayed on it in the wilderness of Paran. And they set forth the first at the mouth of Jehovah by the hand of Moses, and in the front, the standard of the camp of the sons of Judah pulled up stakes by their armies. And over its army was Nashon," did I say that right? "Nashon, the son of Aminadab. And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Issachar was Nathaniel, the son of Zuar." I'm going to turn this microphone down just a little bit because I can hear myself too well. There we go. Okay. "And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Zebulun was Eliab the son of Helon, and the tabernacle was taken down. And the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari pulled up, bearing the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben pulled up by their armies. And over its army was Eleazar the son of Shedeur. And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai." Oh, I'm butchering these names. "And over the army of the tribes of Gad was Eliasaph, son of Deuel." Ah, that name sounded more like a question. "And the Kohathites pulled up bearing the sanctuary, and others set up the tabernacle while they came. And the standard of the camp of the sons of Ephraim pulled up by their armies. And over its army was Elishama, the son of Ammihud. And over the army of the tribes of the sons of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur. And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the sons of Dan pulled up." Oh, I love you, Dan. "And to the rear of all the camps by their armies. And over its army was Ahizir," oh man, "Ahizer? I don't know, and the son of Amishaddai. And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Akron. And over the army of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the travels of the sons of Israel, according to their armies, and they pulled up stakes. And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, Midianite? Man, and Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, Moses' father-in-law, we are traveling to the place of which Jehovah has said, I will give it to you. Go with us, and we will do good to you, for Jehovah has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said to him, I shall not go, but I shall go to my land and to my kindred. And he said, please do not forsake us, because you know as to how we encamp in the wilderness, and you shall be to us for eyes. They want him for a lookout? And it shall come to pass when you go with us, yes, it shall be that what good Jehovah shall do to us, and we shall do good to you. That is worded so weird. And it shall come to pass when you go with us, yea, it shall be that what good Jehovah shall do to us, we shall do good to you. So I'm saying, they're saying that however God blesses us along this journey, we'll bless you the same? Is that just kind of saying like you'll share in the rewards? It's worded so weird. And they pulled up from the Mount of Jehovah 3 days' journey. And the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah pulled out before them 3 days' journey to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of Jehovah was on them by day as they pulled up out from the camp. And it happened when the Ark pulled out, Moses said, Rise, O Jehovah, and your enemies shall be scattered, and those hating you shall flee from your presence. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Jehovah, to the myriads, the thousands of Israel. Chapter 11. And the people were evil. Oh. Really? That's just how we're going to start. Chapter 11. And the people were evil. Man. And those complaining Jehovah heard, and his anger glowed, and the fire of Jehovah burned among them and devoured in the extreme edge of the camp. That's not good. And the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to Jehovah, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of Jehovah burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them lusted with a great lust. And the sons of Israel also turned back and wept, and said, Who shall cause us to eat meat? Whoa. Who shall cause us to eat meat? We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, and now our souls wither? There is nothing except this manna before our eyes, and the manna was like coriander seed, and it's looked like the look of bdellium? Resin gum. Whoa. So bdellium's like B-D-E-L-L-I-U-M. I think that's bdellium. I don't know how else you... Unless it's just delium. The B silent. Then resin gum, which is a funny thing to see, like, in the Old Testament or the Holy Bible or whatever, because resin gum is an ingredient you'll still find in a lot of the products that you purchase today, which is weird, right? Like, hearing something that's got so many terms and things that are just odd, we run into something that, again, relates to today perfectly. That's just odd. The look of bdellium resin gun. I would argue, though, that their version of what they're seeing resin gum as is different than how we're experiencing it, you know? But moving on. And the people went around and gathered it and ground it in the mills, or beat it in the mortars, and boiled it in a pan, and made it into cakes. And its taste was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the... Ew. They say that like that's a good thing. Who's just drinking or eating fresh oil? I mean... So it was good for cooking? Could we take that from that? Huh. And when the dew came down on the camp by night, the manna came down on it. Okay. I'm not sure what that means. The manna came down on it. They put the cakes on the dew? The manna came down on, okay. And Moses, sorry, I forgot that was on. That's a scanner in the background for Ellensburg that just piped in. Something's happening. Let me see if I can reach that to turn that off. That's up. There we go. Okay. And now to figure out where I just was. We were in chapter 11. We're talking about those cakes. Manna came down on it. Okay. And Moses heard the people weeping by its families, each at the door of his tent. And the anger of Jehovah glowed exceedingly. What is that noise?
Lay down.
Sorry, I thought that was the chair I'm sitting on. That's the dog doing circles in her doghouse thing. Jeez, sorry about that. Okay. That was, like, I don't know how it's going to sound when you listen to this, but that just cracks in my ears, like the her feet, her nails on that plastic. Like, it's worse than hearing myself make S or T sounds. Let's just start there. And Moses heard the people weeping by its families, each at the door of his tent. And the anger of Jehovah glowed exceedingly. And in the eyes of Moses, it was evil. What was evil? The anger that glowed in Jehovah? Huh. Why have you done evil to your servant? And why have you not found grace? And why have I not found grace in your eyes to put the burden of all this people on me? I conceived all this people? We're going to just skip that first I. It's got a comma right after it, too, so I'm not sure what that, why that's doing that. We're going to just say it's a typo. Have I conceived all this people? Oh, no, it does it again. I. Have I conceived all these people? Okay, maybe it's like that. I. Have I begotten it that you say to me, carry it in your bosom as the foster father bears the suckling to the land which you have sworn to its fathers. Where shall I get flesh to give to all the people? For they weep to me, saying, give to us flesh that we may eat. I am not able, I alone, to bear all this. It just says people. To bear all this people. To bear all these people, I guess is what it should say. To bear all these people. For it is too heavy for me. And if you deal thus with me, please quickly kill me. If I have found grace in your eyes, and let me not look on my affliction. That was a quick change of tone from Moses there. Wasn't expecting that. And Moses, or Jehovah said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you have known that they are elders, of the people and its officers. And you shall take them to the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall station themselves there with you. And I shall come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it on them. And they will bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it alone yourself alone. And you sanctify yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of Jehovah, saying, who shall give us flesh? For we had good in Egypt. I was expecting it to say flesh or something there. It just says we had good in Egypt. And Jehovah shall give meat to you, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but to a month of days, until it comes out of your nostrils, and it shall become to you a loathsome thing, because you have loathed Jehovah, who is in your midst, and weep before him, saying, why is it that we have come out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people in whose midst I am are 600,000 footmen, and you have said, I shall give meat to them, and they shall eat a month of days. Shall flock a herd be slaughtered for them, so one may find for them? Are all the fish of the sea to be gathered for them, that one may find for them? And Jehovah said to Moses, Is the hand of Jehovah shortened? Now you shall see whether my word shall come to pass to you or not. It's kind of like Moses here is challenging the word of God a little bit, right? And God was kind of like, I don't know if you say smiting him a little bit, but he was letting him know, you know, and you guys are going to have it coming out of your nostrils, like, ask and you shall receive. But I get what he's saying, though. Like, we've done all this, and now you're crying because you don't have your fill of meat right now. You guys are going to go evil or something like that, because it did say that they referenced them as evil. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. And Moses went out and spoke to the people the words of Jehovah, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and caused them to stand around the tabernacle. And Jehovah came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the Spirit which was on him, and put it on the 70 men of the elders. And it happened, as the Spirit rested on them, that they prophesied, but they did not continue. And two of the men were left in the camp, the name of the one being Eldad, and the name of the second Medad. Whoa. So Eldad, that's just E-L in front of the word dad. And the next, the second one, his name's Medad, just M-E, me, dad. That's weird. Two dads to hang out. But okay. And the name of the second, Medad, or Medad, I'm not sure how you'd say that. And the Spirit rested on them. And they were among those written, but did not go out to the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad, Medad are prophesying in the camp. Sorry for the broken sentences here. It's like I said, it's weird how short this is written, and it bothers me. So sorry, but it's what I got here. Prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, minister to Moses of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, stop them. And Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all Jehovah's people were prophets, that Jehovah would put his Spirit on them. And Moses withdrew into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And a wind went forth from Jehovah and cut off quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as a day's journey here and as a day's journey there, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the face of the land. And the people rose up all that day and all that night. And the... Gotta flip the page. I wonder how... Like, what's a cubit? Is that like a meter? Is it 3 feet? I wonder. Because so much stuff ends up in meters. I'm, you know, in America, yeah. Everything's feet here, but... So much of stuff... I'm gonna have to Google that later. I'm gonna have to look up how... What's the, like, you know, mass of a cubit. Rose up all that day and all that night, and the day after, and gathered the quails. He who at least had gathered 10 homers. He who had least gathered 10 homers. Okay. I don't know what a homer is. I'm going to guess that's something to do with quails. Maybe a homer is a male. I don't know. And they spread them out for themselves around the camp. The meat was yet between their teeth. It was not yet cut off. And the anger of Jehovah glowed among the people. And Jehovah struck among the people with a very great plague. And one called the name of that place the Graves of Lust. For there they buried the people who lusted. For the graves of lust, the people pulled up to go to Hazeroth, and they remained in Hazeroth. That's the end of chapter 11. That is what? I gotta revisit something here. So, okay, they gathered the quails. He who had least had gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves around the camp. Okay, so they spread them out. The meat was yet between their teeth. It was not yet cut off. So they hadn't even, like, butchered these quails. And the anger of Jehovah glowed among the people. Were they pissed off they didn't have enough quail? I'm confused. They wanted food. They got food. Enough to apparently spread out. He who had least had gathered 10 homers. So, I mean, is that suggesting that the man that grabbed the least had at least 10? So that's like 10 at least per person? Man, I'm so confused. What I don't understand, I guess, is the anger. What would you be mad about? What would you have to be mad about? Huh. So anyway, they're dead. The people that were angry. And the rest of them took off to Hazeroth. And there they stayed. They remained in Hazeroth. Chapter 12. I'm going to roll through chapter 12 real fast because it doesn't look that long. And then I'm going to stop there. On 13. 13 is not that long either. I don't know how long 14 is, but yeah, I'm super confused by all that. So I'm going to kind of, after I'm done with this, go back and read that again and see if it changes anything. But all right. Numbers chapters 12. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had taken. For he had taken a Cushite woman, and they said, "Has Jehovah spoken only by Moses? He has not also spoken by us." And Jehovah heard, and the man Moses was very meek, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Very meek, so does that mean he was like withered or tired? Not strong? And Jehovah said suddenly to Moses, and to Aaron, and to Miriam, "You three come out of the tabernacle of the congregation." And the three of them came out. And Jehovah came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood at the tabernacle door, and called Aaron and Miriam. And both of them came out, and he said, "Now hear my words. If your prophet is of Jehovah, I shall make myself known to him in an appearance. I will speak to him in a dream. It is not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him mouth to mouth, and by an appearance, and not in riddles, and he carefully looks upon the form of Jehovah. So why have you not been afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" And the anger of Jehovah glowed against them, and he left. And the cloud turned away from the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "O my Lord, I beg you, do not lay sin upon us, by which we have done foolishly, and by which we have sinned. I beg you, do not let her be as one of dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." What? And Moses cried to Jehovah. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not even going to get into that. And Moses cried to Jehovah, saying, "O God, I beg you, give healing to her, I beseech you." And Jehovah said to Moses, "If her father had but spat in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? And shall she be shut out 7 days at the outside of the camp, and afterward shall she be brought in?" And Miriam was shut out at the outside of the camp 7 days, and the people did not pull up stakes until Miriam was brought in. And afterward the people pulled up from Hazeroth, and they encamped in the wilderness of Paran. That's the end of chapter 13. I am going to stop there because my phone is dying. I'm down to 9%. But yeah, huh. It's weird how we don't even... I was kind of expecting them to at least address the fact, like this whole Graves of Lust thing where they... these people got mad because they got food, apparently. And their anger glowed against Jehovah for some... so bad that Jehovah was like, "All right, I'm done with you," and literally hit him with a plague. And that became where they died, the graves of lust. And they were lusting for me. I always thought lusting had to do with, I guess, sex or thinking of sex, you know what I mean? Like thoughts of sex or... actually having sex if it's outside of like your marriage or promiscuously. So I've never heard of lust in, or ever thought of it in terms of lusting for more in terms of, I guess that's right though. Yeah, that's lust too. I guess lust is just like an extreme yearning, or like it's beyond yearning because you're not just yearning for it. You're actively pursuing what you yearn. So they were actively, but wow, I just rationalized myself into believing that they were actively pursuing anger against God, and that's why he struck them with the plague. in however fashion they were actively doing that. But I don't, you know what I mean? That's all my speculation there. That's just where my brain goes with it. But crazy. They didn't even go back to that. Instead, we just went on to Miriam and Aaron and hit Miriam with the little bit of the old leprosy. How about that? So, yep. And we're out of Hazeroth. And in Paran, and I guess that's where we're going to pick up in chapter 13 when I pick back up. So, yeah, that's that. You guys have a great day or night, whatever it may be for you, and, you know, go with God, and I hope that you enjoy this.
In all the Eastern religions and all the cults and all the world religions, they always gave some credit to Jesus Christ. The Muslims say that he was a prophet. The Krishnas say that he was an incarnation of the Godhead in his age. Yogananda and all these different Eastern teachers said that he had Christ consciousness. You know, they always use words like Christ consciousness, Christ this, Jesus that. The Buddhists would even say he was a Buddha. You know, he was another incarnation of God like Buddha was. And in all my searchings, I saw that all these people were pointing to Jesus. They're going, well, yeah, Jesus is one of the ways, but we're one of the ways. And they wouldn't all agree on anything except that Jesus was one of the ways. And then I looked into the Bible. I did this all through intellectual reasoning and laid it out on the table and figured it out that if they all gave him credit and he only gave himself credit and they all agreed on one thing, that he was one of the ways, and he only agreed that he was the only way. So I figured I had no choice but to go with him. And then I started praying to Jesus.